From the studios at Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. It has been 5 weeks of witness testimony in the criminal trial against Lori Vallow Daybell. And yesterday afternoon, the prosecution rested their case. And then moments later, the defense did the same thing. Nate Eaton, the news director of EastIdahoNews.com, has been in the courtroom every single day. He has joined us before to talk about this. He's joining us again. Nate, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And let's go back to yesterday when the prosecution rested their case. I am assuming at that point, Nate, everyone expected the defense to roll out their case.
Yeah, we had spent weeks hearing from 60 witnesses. That's how many witnesses the prosecution called, you know, countless number of evidence and recordings and photos and text messages. And so after this very long process, the prosecution said they rested, and now it was the defense's turn. Now, the defense attorneys had said in the past that they had very few, if any, witnesses. And from the looks of it, there was never anybody that sat in the defense benches during this trial that was associated mm-hmm. to Lori other than the attorney's families. So it was a big curious question. Would Lori take the stand? She could be the one witness that could get up and testify in her own defense. And after they cleared the court so that Lori could be alone with her attorneys, there was about a 20 to 30 minute discussion, and everyone was invited back in. And that's when Jim Archibald, her attorney, said, Lori will not be testifying. We do not think that the prosecution has proved their case, and so we rest. And it was a memorable moment. I mean, there were some gasps in the courtroom of, wait, what? They're not going to put on a defense? And, you know, they spoke for less than a minute, and the prosecution had about 5.5 weeks.
So I can only imagine, Nate, as you just described, audible gasps in the courtroom. I think everyone was stunned by that decision for the defense to not put on to not roll out a case.
Yeah, but you know you have to remember that it's the defense doesn't have to prove one thing. This burden is on the state. They have to prove their case. Mm-hmm. And the defense did cross-examine many of the witnesses, not all of them, and they made points along the way. One big win for them was they were able to get a podcast that Lori recorded to be played for the juries, about 40 minutes of a podcast. And you heard Lori talking in this podcast and sharing her religious beliefs and whatnot. And that was able to be admitted without any sort of cross-examination. Had they put Lori on the stand, the prosecution would have been able to question her and mm-hmm. really go after her. But the defense was able to get that podcast in. Recordings were played of Lori talking to people. So the defense heard Lori. They heard her state of mind through all of this. And they obviously thought it might just be better for them to rest, to not call anybody. And then you also have that, you know, if the defense attorney says, I don't feel they've proved their case, most people are like, what? Of course they proved their case. But there may be some that think, oh, well, maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really interesting point, Nate, because I think sometimes, in particular, when there are these very sensational cases that get national and international attention, like this one has, I think sometimes we forget, in a way, like how the justice system works, in particular, that it is never on the defense to prove innocence or guilt. That really is for the prosecution to do. That is how our judicial system works. And so I'm curious, was there anyone that you've spoken to who has said the defense did the right thing by saying they didn't prove their case, we're done?
You know, I think a lot of people have said not necessarily that they did the right thing, but that it makes sense what mm-hmm. they did, that mm-hmm. Makes sense not to put Lori on the stand. You think about this, the defense got a big win for their client when death penalty was taken off the table a few weeks ago. That is a big win that she no longer will face the death penalty. And the reason is because she was so adamant that she had a speedy trial. And when new evidence was introduced, you know, weeks before the trial, and her mitigation expert, the one person on the defense team whose job is to save her, prevent her from going to death, told the judge, I don't have enough time to go through all of this evidence. I do not have enough time to do an adequate job, and that could create all sorts of issues on an appeal. So the judge was forced to say, well, we can delay the trial, which they did with Chad, while this is talked about, and give the mitigation specialist time, or we drop the death penalty off the table. And because Lori would not delay, death penalty was off the table. So I think the defense will consider that a win. And I think that it just made sense to them that they needed to do this. I will say one thing that I've, you know, become aware of is that Lori Vallow was very actively involved in her defense. She made a lot of these decisions herself. And she's the one that personally decided she would not take the stand. And a lot of clients, you know, defendants let the attorneys do all the work. That was not the case here.
Well, and Nate, you know, I think in particular over these last 5 weeks with these 60 plus witnesses, you know, you talk about the podcast that the defense was able to get entered in as evidence, right? And it shows Lori's state of mind. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the jury views that, right? Could they think that, you know, maybe Lori wasn't the mastermind behind this? That doesn't necessarily mean that she'll be acquitted, but, you know, there could be a lot of outcomes of this trial.
There could. And one point that the defense made with the playing of that podcast and with questioning some of the witnesses is they specifically would say, did Lori Vallow have any of these beliefs that we've heard about, multiple creations and lives and portals and whatnot, before she met Chad? Before November of 2018, did you ever hear her talk about these things? And every witness asked consistently said, no, we never heard this. It was normal, mainstream kind of Christian beliefs and whatnot. And so the defense was trying to say, and once she met Chad Daybell, everything changed. Now, a lot of people have said they really could have nailed that harder on a lot of these witnesses, really gone after Chad. But that's not something Lori wanted to do. Had she said, sure, go after him, I think we would have seen a completely different defense. I think that they would have really gone after Chad Daybell and put the blame on him. I mean, after all, the bodies were found on his property. But there wasn't a lot of that. And that the same thing could have been done with her brother, Alex Cox, who's dead. Point at him. Go after him. Say he did it all. There wasn't a lot of that either. It was an interesting kind of defense strategy. But for anyone to fault the attorneys, these guys are experienced. I mean, Jim Archibald has done 25 murder cases. He's done death penalty cases. He's practiced law for 30 years. John Thomas is the attorney who helped get Chris Tapp exonerated. I mean, these guys know what they're doing. They're not, you know, fresh out of school. So a lot of this was simply Lori Vallow's decisions.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk logistics here, Nate. So as of today, right now, as we mentioned yesterday, the trial the trial portion wrapped up. What's going on today?
So today the jurors have the day off. And right now the prosecution and the defense and the judge are all meeting to come up with the jury instructions that will be given to the jurors when they return tomorrow. Tomorrow they will show up. They will get the instructions. There will then be closing arguments from both sides. Those could be lengthy. They could be short. We don't know if the judge is going to put a time limit on them. We'll find that out. And then after that, it's up to the jury. They could have this case as early as Thursday afternoon. And, you know, we might have a verdict by Friday, or maybe it goes into next week. It totally is up to them.
Mm-hmm. It is. I think so fascinating, Nate, that, you know, you are the journalist who uncovered this story. I mean, you were the first person. I'm curious from your standpoint, and I know that we have another trial coming up with Chad Daybell, but in a lot of ways, it felt like we would never get to this day where we would say the trial of Lori Daybell has wrapped up.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've been thinking about that this week, that it's been nearly 4 years. And from the beginning, I was told by multiple sources, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And it seems that the finish line has been there. And to actually have it conclude, likely a week from now, have it all be done, other than the sentencing, which will happen in a few months. But it's kind of surreal. But I think I'm ready to do some other reporting, which I've been doing along the way. And I don't know if this story will, I think this story will always be a, you know, a main part of me. And you think about not just me, but the victims, the family members who have been waiting for this day. And this started, you think about it, pre-COVID, to give you an idea of the time frame. I think of how the world has changed so much since 2019. And I think COVID caused a lot of the delays here, and there were so many things. And you mentioned Chad's trial, Gemma. We still have another trial potentially in Arizona where Lori faces charge for her husband, a conspiracy charge. So that could still happen. So while this is a major milestone, we're not quite there yet.
Well, and you know, Nate, I remember the very first time you were on Idaho Matters because we heard about this case, right? And it honestly seemed like it wasn't real. And I remember you coming on the show and I just kept saying, what happened? This happened. I mean, and it's still, you know, almost 4 years later, still difficult, I think, for those of us in the media to wrap our heads around this. But I cannot imagine what this has been like for the family members who lost loved ones. And with that said, have you had an opportunity to talk with the families of JJ and Tylee, who have also, you know, been here, been in town, been in the courtroom, have been in a way a driving force behind making sure there was justice in this case?
Yeah, you know, we talk every day, just, you know, during the breaks and whatnot, and also with other family members who are not here who are following along. And I think that we knew a lot of the information that's come out in trial, but there's a lot we didn't know. I think mainly the massive amount of text messages and coordination and frankly, sexual type of stuff that was happening long before Tammy Daybell died that has just been more crushing and upsetting to so many of these family members. You know, yesterday was Larry Woodcock, JJ's grandfather, had a panic attack. They had to call the EMTs to the courthouse. I think the fact that the trial was winding up, I mean, this has been such an integral part of their life. There's a lot that could be determined here in the next week or so. Fortunately, he's doing fine now. He's been resting and he'll be back at court tomorrow, he says. But this takes the mental toll. It takes a physical toll, a financial toll to be here. It has just disrupted all of their lives. And people think that once we get a verdict and once the sentencing comes, boom, everything's fine then. But it is, but it isn't. There's still much to deal with after the fact to kind of, you know, begin a new stage of life.
Mm-hmm. And before I let you go, Nate, tell us what is going on in regards to when the verdict will be read, because cameras have not been allowed in the courtroom. They still will not be allowed in the courtroom. But there's a little caveat that's going to happen in regards to when the verdict is read.
Yeah, Judge Boyce has said that the verdict will be televised on his YouTube channel with the court cameras, the camera system that's in there, and then media outlets like East Idaho News and others will be able to take that feed and distribute it across our platforms. So the overflow rooms that have been set up in Rexburg and here in Ada County will close. And the seating for the actual courtroom for the verdict will be first come, first serve with whatever seats are left. A lot of victims and their family members want to be in there. There's people that have been coming every day that want to be in there as far as like law enforcement. So I don't know how many seats will be in there, but they're saying, you know, you don't have to rush down to the courthouse because you will be able to see the verdict. You know, verdicts generally can be quite short, 10, 20 minutes, and the sentencing won't happen right away. That'll be in a few months. So that's how it'll work. The public will be able to see it. I don't know how good the cameras are going to be because some of these court cams are, you know, far out, not very close up, but at least there will be some option to watch.
All right. Well, as always, Nate, we appreciate you coming on the program and updating us on what's going on. We've been talking with Nate Eaton, news director at EastIdahoNews.com, about the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell, which just wrapped up yesterday. As Nate said, closing arguments tomorrow, and then it goes to the jury. Nate, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I've never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history. A story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast in its latest series, Taking Cover.